I recently had this big realization that you can simultaneously live in certainty, right? In the direction that you're moving and align with your values and what you're going for, and experience feelings of doubt and fear and regret and whatever, all of these things, when you recognize them as feelings that are kind of part of this programmed piece of you, right? Mm. You know, when you can create the duality of, I can live in this sense of purpose and experience doubt and fear, and that they're not directly correlated with the success and the direction and the speed in which I move in my purpose and in my impact and towards the thing that I want to go for.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Valbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Melissa Davis. Melissa, how are we today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm excited. We just had this conversation. I'm like, we should have clicked record before we started, because right. We dive deep. As soon as I open my mouth to you, we just start diving deep and talking about the good stuff. So I know everyone at home is going to love this. You are the founder of Humanity Inc. Tell us a little bit about Humanity Inc., because I think you're doing something special here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Humanity Inc. is really, for me, all about getting more change makers to take action on their personal missions, on their impact. I believe that we need a lot more change makers in the world stepping into that potential to make the world a better place, to really do the hard work. And I believe that for-profit business is uniquely positioned and evolving in the direction of being able to make a big impact by its nature, right? We know that business has a huge influence on culture and how things operate. In fact, it has probably a larger influence than government does to some degree on how much gets done in the world. So my mission really with Humanity Inc. is at a personal level and really at a passion level, right? For me, at a passion level, is to make sure that more people get clarity on what that impact is if they're a change maker, right? If they've got the fire in them, and you know if you do, right? That fire means I know I've got the potential to do something big. My job is to help people with that fire figure out what that looks like and how to take action on it. And if you're an entrepreneur, how to take action on that as an entrepreneur and to be able to talk about it. Because once you can talk about your fire, once you can talk about what your impact is and what you believe, then you can go out there in the world and take action on it. And until you can articulate it, you can't do a damn thing about it, right? You're just sitting there with this potential in you. So Humanity Inc. is all about really bringing more change makers into the for-profit business space, because I believe that's where we can have the biggest impact.
I love this. So the fire's within someone, but they might not know how to put it on paper, how to express mm-hmm. it, but it's within them, and you help them create that bridge where they can communicate and reach more people. How do I know? You kind of mentioned that some people probably already do know. What if I don't know if I'm a change maker? Like, what exactly is a change maker? How do I know if I'm a change maker? How do I become one? Like, let's talk about change making.
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually, because I've had students tell me, and I have students from all over the world, and I really love that. And I've had some students tell me, you know, they completely identify with me calling them a change maker, that, you know, identifying personally as a change maker, and others don't. They're just like, no, I just want to do some good in the world, right? I just want to build something that has some meaning, right? That I can leave this legacy behind and be a person that does something positive with their work instead of doing the 9-to-5 job that brings no fulfillment for me, right? I just know I need to be doing something more. It just keeps eating at me, but they don't identify as a change maker. And some people may never identify as a change maker. It's what I call them. And because I believe that every personal intent to bring change to the world qualifies you as a change maker, but I can't place that identity on everyone. And so it's something that I do have to be careful, you know, in how I use it, because I want to attract people that truly are, in my opinion, change makers, even if they don't identify with that. And some later do, right? Others go, no, listen, I'm the quiet, you know, I'm doing my work and I'm building this. Please don't call me a change maker. So how do you know? It's, you know, kind of comes back to that fire, that feeling of potential. And it's a restlessness, right? It's this not being satisfied with what you're doing right now, the work that you're doing, the impact that you're personally having. And it's this restlessness, and it just keeps building. It gets a little bit stronger, a little bit stronger. Sometimes you dip back into, well, you know what? I make an impact in other places in my life. You know, I'm a parent. I volunteer. I do all these things, right? But for those who that feeling just keeps growing and they can't get rid of it, right? They get to a point where they're like, I've got to explore this. I've got to figure out what that impact is. And usually people get a sense that they want to be an entrepreneur pretty early on. Like, they have ideas, right? And yes. Like, why isn't anybody doing this, right? And usually it's a lot of ideas. It's not usually like one idea. I think you and I talked about that before. But it's, yeah, just, it's a restlessness and a fire of, it's a, of potential, right? I need to be doing something else, something more, something bigger, something with impact. I don't, you know, oftentimes I just don't know what it is.
The silliest, smallest example that comes to my mind is when I was really young and my mom would say, because I said so. And I was that brat that was like, what do you mean by because I said so?
Right.
Like,
me too.
This, and this. And we can do it this way. And then I was in the corporate world and I was out of the box and I was getting pointed at all the time and I didn't fit in. Maybe these are signs that I'm a change maker. I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
But I'm wondering if you can tell us a story. My assumption is you're a change maker. You're a rock star. You're going to make a difference in the world. You're making a difference and you're going to make more of a difference. Where did it all start? Did you have a moment where you felt the fire within you? Or tell us a little bit about how you got your start and why you're so passionate about this.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of one of those things where I'm like, damn it, why didn't, you know, I just all of a sudden get this aha moment, or couldn't it have started earlier in my life where that just started to build faster? And the truth is it didn't. Like, it, you know, I always felt like I wanted to be impactful in my work. I wanted to do work that was fulfilling for me, but I didn't really get to that point until I was working for a startup. And he just started to notice that nobody was rowing in the same direction, right? Mm-hmm. I had frustrations in my work before. But you know, my mind was just look for a better job, look for, right. Just look for a better job where you know, you learn a little bit about what you want and what you don't want. But it was well into my late 30s before I started to recognize that I could go outside of that box and start to do something else, right? And by outside of that box, I became an intrapreneur first, right? And I call it unwelcomed intrapreneur. You know, a lot of organizations are looking for people to do that within their, you know, in their organization. And I was the person who's like, you just start noticing what's going on. And I started to kind of develop this process around values and why are we all here and what actually drives this organization in the same direction. And I developed this kind of mini process and they just wanted nothing to do with it. You know, we, they had investors, and investors' values drive the direction of an organization, and they override the founder's values more often than not. By the way, that's a really good reason to make sure that you vet your investors as much as they vet you. Because gaining investment often dilutes, if not almost always dilutes, the values of an organization and then the potential strength and impact that it can have. But yeah, it didn't come all at once. In fact, it came very slowly. And it wasn't until the impetus of getting laid off that I just couldn't go back to a job. I got several offers, and it just almost felt sick. There was this visceral reaction to, you can't just go back and do this. You have to do something else. And then it took another couple of years to figure out what that was, you know? And so it was in that like painful period of knowing that I needed to do something different. I wanted to start a business and I had all these ideas, but the painful part was just not having clarity on exactly what that was, right? So you just kind of flounder in this space of doubt and fear and not getting any traction. And, you know, finally realized that I could flip that process that I was working on as, you know, an entrepreneur on myself. And that's when I had this kind of aha moment that I could teach that clarity, that I could really help people on an individual level do what I wanted to do for that organization.
How does it feel?
Amazing. It's one of those pinch me kind of things. And I'm not saying that it is easy. I'm not saying that being an entrepreneur and having your own business is a ride in the park. It's almost never, right? But it comes with this freedom and this emotional high that I'd never experienced before in my life, certainly not at work. And it's just something I want for everyone. I had a coach actually tell me that was dangerous. I don't know. I feel like I disagree, but no, it feels amazing. It's truly like one of the, I think, greatest freedoms to understand, to have clarity, you know, on what you stand for and what you want to build. It's not always clear. It's not crystal clear, right? I think it's in a process to get there. And it's ever evolving and we're always evolving ourselves, but it's amazing.
And it doesn't have to be crystal clear, and it doesn't have to be through entrepreneurship. Either,
no, not at all.
Think, right? There's so
no,
many
of course not.
I know.
Yeah, I just happen to work with entrepreneurs, right? But I get like super excited when anyone gets clarity there, right? Because you can take action on clarity. You can't take action when you don't have clarity.
I did a podcast today. It's not out yet. We're recording this. This isn't out yet as we speak. But he asked me if I'm successful, and basically if I would see myself as successful. And I had to think for a moment, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't think I care if I'm successful. Like the way I feel every day and the progress I'm making every day is enough for me that I'm redefining success. And once I found this new pathway where my success wasn't necessarily monetary and it wasn't necessarily materialistic, and I took a pay cut to basically do something that I feel more successful inside. It
yes.
sounds like your story is very similar in that regard. Is
100%.
What are your thoughts on success and just the day to day, the year to year? Like, are you a 10-year planner? Are you a day to day planner? Like, what's the status today? You know,
yeah, the status, right? I know. I totally am with you on the evolving measure of success and what that means to me personally, right? For a long time, the way that I kind of measured success was I get to do this and feel this way all the time without feeling guilty about not having enough money coming in. Right. Like that was okay. You know, the contribution, because I took a huge pay cut too. Right. You know, and it's, you know, as it's just this up and down of revenue as an entrepreneur. It's not the same steady expectation of, you know, even starting off in entrepreneurship, you have this idea that like, okay, you're going to get hit a level of success, right? Meaning you get back to where you were before you quit your job, you know, and went for it. And then you're going to step up a level and you're going to step up a level or whatever, but it's just not like that at all. It's this, you know, this big wave and the expectation about your contribution financially, you know, if you have a family or even just, you know, your own measure of success financially becomes a different bar entirely. It becomes about what's the level of revenue that I need to bring in to raise this whole thing up.
Right.
Right. To be able to do this work at a larger scale. Right. And that's one measure of success. Mm. And it becomes one of a number of measures of success that I have. And it's a tool. It's really, it's a resource among many resources that we bring into our lives and into our business. And my measure of success is, you know, as you mentioned too, is how happy am I? What kind of impact am I making for the people that I'm working with? Right. Yeah, it's a very different experience than I would have predicted.
I'm fascinated of the image of the wave, you know, the ebb and flow there. I'm thinking back, this is literally in college, positive psychology. They talked about a study where you would go on vacation or get married, honeymoon, all these great things, and your level of happiness would skyrocket up. And then it would fall back to the baseline, you know, mm-hmm. 6 weeks to a few months after that event. You'd yep. always fall back to baseline. So it's like, okay, so we're going to fall back to baseline. How do we raise baseline? Like, how do we always just be at a higher baseline where there might be less ebb and flow? There might be less of a wave, but you're at a higher baseline. But it seems like when you're taking that risk and you're taking on like financial risk and a little less sustainability there, you're going to go through that ebb and flow. But it looks mm-hmm. like you and I are both trying to figure out, how do we raise that baseline? How do we mm-hmm. get rid of the ebb and flow and get to that top part? Where it's still going to ebb and flow, but let's raise the baseline as we go. Yep. And I don't even have a follow-up question. You just got my mind rambling with all these ideas. I'm wondering like where you figured this stuff out. Are you like me where you're just like studying all the time, or like, did you have a spiritual moment, or like what put you on this path? Like why are you on this path? How did you figure this stuff out?
Okay. There are a lot of questions there. So
my girlfriend called me out on that. She's like, you ask like 3 questions at a time.
No, I do the same thing. I do the same thing, but I tracked.
Yes. I try to ask questions that are in a similar category.
Yeah, they're all connected.
Choose your own. It's like one of those choose your own adventures.
Yeah, they're all connected. And let's start with
yes.
points of clarity. Mm. They've all been different. Some have been later points of clarity for me. I call it connecting the dots. Some are synchronicities, some are opportunities that come because you put yourself in the right space for it. Earlier, it was studying a lot, listening to a lot, bringing in ideas and concepts and, you know, and they swim, right? And then you're in the shower and 2 dots connect, right? Or you're walking the dog, or it's usually when we can quiet our minds, right? That all the input has time to marinate and dots connect. And the challenge for me actually is that a lot of dots connect and it can be overwhelming. Mm. it can be completely overwhelming because you have to get traction in one area on an idea before you start five different things. So that's always my challenge, is not, my challenge isn't figuring out how to connect dots or where does that inspiration come from. My challenge is controlling and filtering through all of the, you know, ideas and sparks. And over time, you develop a lot of filters there. The other thing that has happened to me, and what's really accelerated that for me massively, is different forms of meditation. I have done a lot of that over the past 2 years. And more of my time gets devoted to that internal work. It's critical. Now, when you say spiritually, you know, what happens there? That's a whole nother episode, I think. Yes. And I have a much larger project that I'm starting on. Again, that's a different episode, I think. Mm-hmm. But that was more like a download. And it's hard to kind of explain what that means or what that looks like. And a lot of that comes to starting to trust your own intuition. And so I'll leave that there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
trusting yourself. When you're a visionary, right, and you're an entrepreneur, or you want to become an entrepreneur, the first thing that really accelerates you and helps you to be certain and to stay in certainty is figuring out which elements of you come through as your intuition and when to trust yourself. And that's recent. That's relatively recently for me, you know, where, you know, just recently realized that as a kid, I was really impulsive. Hmm. And very early on, and by impulsive, I don't mean obnoxious or mm-hmm. anything like that, but I attached kind of getting in trouble to those impulses, right? And recently, I had a very inspired impulse, right, that led me down the path of a really big opportunity. And I looked back at my life and all of the really amazing turns, right? The things that really accelerated things for me were on a whim or on an impulse. Hmm. And I think a lot of what we have to do is to start trusting ourselves. You know, when something feels like it's the right thing to do right now, not shutting that down as a childish thing. Right? You get to a certain point in your life where you've amassed all of this information, you know, you've learned how to be an adult. And when something like that happens, maybe it is an informed impulse, right? Mm. And maybe it is aligned to what you ought to be doing. Regardless of how you feel spiritually, starting to trust yourself.
Trusting ourselves. Yeah.
Back to the wave.
Please.
Back to the wave.
I'm going to say one short thing.
Yeah.
You commented that that's a whole nother podcast. You know what I'm thinking in my head, Melissa? Before you even said that, I'm like, I want to start a podcast with this gal. This is awesome. So back to the wave, because we could do this all day.
I know. I call what we experience as entrepreneurs, and specifically as visionaries, and a visionary, by the way, is somebody who does connect the dots on ideas, who really can see the world in a very different way, even if it just comes in bits and pieces to you, right? I think this can be done differently. And you connect the dots on these things, right? And you have visions for what the world could look like given these circumstances or whatever. We go through what I call the chaos clarity continuum. Where at that, you know, that high point, like you said, right, we have points of clarity or high points of emotion or feelings. But this specifically kind of relates to entrepreneurship, the mm-hmm. experience we have as entrepreneurs or as people making change and building things in the world, right? We hit these high points of clarity where we connect the dots on things and we realize, we recognize what we need to do. Mm. Oftentimes they're quickly followed by a drop into chaos, right? Where we're experiencing doubt. We're experiencing, you know, maybe another opportunity comes up and we shoot off in that direction and five other things happen. And, you know, we get to this lower point, just like you mentioned, right? Or even back to baseline, but baseline for an entrepreneur actually kind of feels really yucky, right? It becomes a new low. Like almost that baseline is like, I'm just floating here. And I don't really know what I'm doing. Now I'm back into the patterns, right? That just left me in this stagnant place, this unfulfilled, I'm just going through the motions kind of thing. What happens usually is that that low point is actually followed by some big piece of learning, right? Mm. It's followed by a realization or a learning that leads us up to another point of clarity, a higher point of clarity. And what happens with a lot of really early entrepreneurs is that they experience one or two of these low points and they figure this isn't for me, right? I don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
And the truth is entrepreneurs experience that all the time and sometimes multiple times a day, right? But some are bigger than others. Some low points are longer and bigger than others. And we've got to remind ourselves that on the way up, right, there's a big learning experience that happens for us that leads us to even more clarity. And that levels out over time. So to your idea of how do we raise the baseline for that, right? So that we can manage the big ups and downs in a more stable way, in a better way. I think so much of that comes down to, and I don't particularly like the word mindset because I don't think it covers it, right? Mindset is like, how confident are you feeling today, right? It's a lot more than that. It has to do with taking your sense of self and fulfillment from the outside and placing it inside, right? Away from external events and towards your internal stasis, into your internal capacity and existence or baseline, you know, basically how you exist in the world, how you feel, right? That becomes the center of relevance or reference for how you are. And that raises the baseline.
I like
that. Was a messy way of saying that, but
well, one thing that's interesting, Melissa, is I am an advocate for mindset, but here's the thing with mindset. Without action or emotional clarity or understanding or compartmentalizing the things in your life,
right,
you can't fake a mindset.
No, you can't.
You kind of have to become that mindset through whether it's feeling your body or detaching from technology or going through trauma. Like there's a lot of ways that can, but you can't fake mindset.
No,
I'm a big,
you see
I'm
it show up though. You see it when people try to, right? You know, people try to when they're constantly affirming, you know, putting out things out on Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, when they're constantly outwardly affirming a mindset, right? It's not a bad thing, right? But it's this, if I keep saying it, right? If I keep showing this to the outside world, then I'll internalize it at some point, right?
Yeah. That's exactly where I was about to go. Like, I'm a big fan of affirmations, but you can't just close your eyes, dream money, put it on a vision board, and have it come to you.
Right.
You can't. You need to take the action. And that's a big thing, the entrepreneurship. It's risk, it's vulnerability, it's action. I know you're comfortable being vulnerable, so I don't mind asking you this. You were talking about these ups and downs, and you get to the down point, and then another one comes, and it's like, oh my gosh, should I just go back to corporate, or should I go back? Should I just throw in the towel?
It would just be easier,
Have you ever felt that way? Has anything ever happened where you've been like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah. Of course it has, right?
Right.
Yeah. In 2000, this is the biggest one I can think of, right? Okay. You know, we experience doubt all the time. I recently had this big realization that you can simultaneously live in certainty, right? In the direction that you're moving and align with your values and what you're going for, and experience feelings of doubt and fear and regret and whatever, all of these things, when you recognize them as feelings that are kind of part of this programmed piece of you, right? Mm. You know, when you can create the duality of I can live in this sense of purpose and experience doubt and fear, and that they're not directly correlated with the success and the direction and the speed in which I move in my purpose and in my impact and towards the thing that I want to go for. So in late 2019, so all of 2019, mm-hmm. I launched. I had a succession of launches and was running these coaching programs with students from all over the world. It was really great. The first launch was like, you know, just like most everybody's first online launch. It was like really a dud. I did enroll a few people. And, you know, at that point, I'm like, should I really be doing this? And I had like a few, like the few people that enrolled were like, this changed my life, you know? So you get this, okay, so that wasn't a success. However, right, you know, this is happening. You know, the next launch was great. You know, did much better, still pretty small. The third launch was amazing, right? And I was super pumped to throw a big budget at the next launch, yeah. Right? I made changes. I did what it felt like. I optimized what I was doing, everything. And I threw a $4,000 budget. Now, this is October of 2019.
Okay.
And don't do that. Don't spend $4,000 right before an election. And the holidays. So it was like late October.
I didn't make the connection at first. So it's election season.
It's election season, right? And it's right before the holidays. Very late October. The course would start at the beginning of November. Mm-hmm. And nothing. Nothing. Not one person enrolled. Not one. And my message wasn't that different. You know, I did make changes and nothing. And I mean, that's a big gut punch, you know, when you're
right.
You're really just getting started, you know, in that momentum and building up. And it just, that was tough. That was really tough. And I took probably 6 months off from launching after that. Just rebuilding. And, you know, I did private coaching and it was great, you know, and I, but it took time on that low. Right. And, you know, my brain rationalized it, you know, all of these things, but it takes, sometimes the like bigger lows take more recovery time. And there was a bigger learning that happened with that too. And I don't mean the learning of don't spend $4,000 in ad money, mm-hmm. you know, during an election. I mean, that's important too. But what came out of it was something a lot bigger and a lot more clear and moving now a lot faster than it would. I almost believe it happened for a reason, right? I don't know, you know, it doesn't matter, because what happens is it all shapes the path that you're on going forward. And the big takeaway is to not let the low determine whether you move forward or not. You can allow yourself to sit in the learning and to sit in the contemplation and whatever, if you know that it will move up again, mm-hmm. right? And that's how it works. If you understand the law of, you know, I'll call it the law of the chaos clarity continuum, right? And that an entrepreneur is successful when they stick with that and the understanding that there's big learning coming and there's a bigger point of clarity in front of it. You know, we don't know the timeline, you know, but just trusting that and knowing that every entrepreneur who is successful, who continues on their pathway as an entrepreneur, moves through those with that understanding, right? And doesn't put meaning to a low. I think that a lot of people apply meaning to that low point that doesn't belong there. You know, we can call it failure. We can call it just, you know, these low points of being not clear, right? They can come in the form of a failure. They can come in the form of not being clear anymore. They can come in the form of just feelings or even distraction, right? We know, you know, you're probably familiar with just simply what distraction in our business does for us, mm-hmm. right? Where we need to refocus. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question. I kind of went off on like a few tangents.
That's how I answer questions. I love it. I mean, you've got to trust yourself. A big point that stood out to me is like, we could define all these what ifs, like, what if it wasn't election season? What if I didn't spend $4,000? What if it wasn't the holidays? What if it was in February or January 1st and people are doing resolutions?
Right.
We can define ourselves with all these what ifs, yep. but it happened.
It happened,
right? Like, what are you going to do about it? What's next? How are we going to define our next step? That's what I'm hearing. And so we're going to end up like starting our own podcast. We don't have to. But
awesome.
one thing I do want to pin down, if someone's listening right now, they're engaged. They could have turned us off a half hour ago. Mm-hmm. They might be a little curious about what exactly you do still. Like, what's a typical client relationship? Like, who should reach out to you for a consultation? Like, is it anybody? Is it a specific kind of person? Let's pin that down a little bit better.
Sure. So a few things. I have, for those who just aren't sure about, like, you know, is entrepreneurship something that I'm really thinking about? Am I a change maker? Like, I've got this feeling, but I just don't have anything attached to it yet. I have a free course called Impact Clarity. And that's obviously a really great way to just kind of work through that. I do some online coaching with that as well, live coaching. But then I have an accelerator for pre-launch and really early stage entrepreneurs. So, you know, you've decided that entrepreneurship is on your path, mm-hmm. Or you've started a business and really just haven't gotten traction, or you keep flip-flopping between niches. That's a huge indicator that you really need to get clarity on what you stand for so that you can define and really hone in on that niche and all of that fun stuff and articulate it, like really articulating.
Getting clarity before you try to hone in and go all in.
Exactly. Right. So that's that deeper level of clarity and taking that really to the next step. And I do private coaching as well. So the accelerator, all of the information about the accelerator and the free course are on my website. And I do private coaching as well. So that's, you know, you can just reach out to me by email for private coaching, and you'll probably, I don't know if you'll list that in the
yes. I always put
notes or not, but
I always put the website. I'll put the LinkedIn. I can add any other links, whether it's email.
So add email, and you can just email me as well, or even just email me. You know, yes. I'm always happy to talk at any time. So you can always just email me.
I love this. It's you've got someone for all levels, and your email's an open book. If someone just has a question or they want to be like, "Oh my gosh, Melissa, you're really interesting. I just want to meet you." Are you taking requests for new friends?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have people just like, you know, I want to talk about this idea, you know, and I get so much energy from that. So email away. I love it.
Perfect. Perfect. I want to ask another just like, how do you figure this stuff out question? Because I feel like I'm on a lifelong journey and a lot of what you're saying is resonating with me. And a lot of it is making me realize that I need to listen back and take notes because I always have so much more to learn. Who are you learning from? Like, is it a direct mentor, a podcast, video, like books? Where do you get this information? Or does it just sweat out of you? I mean,
No. I used to listen, and I still do, but used to listen to tons and tons of podcasts and books on everything from behavioral economics to, you know, marketing messaging to, you know, I became a Story Brand certified guide, you know, for marketing messaging, everything. I mean, I wanted to absorb all of it. And now I split my time between taking that all in. And what I'm really focusing my energy on learning now is how to tap into my own internal resources in a much more powerful way. You know, I can't recommend meditation enough and guided. You know, there are a lot of different pathways to exploring that and a lot of different methodologies, channels. I love to go and float at the Body Mind Float Center here in Rochester. Can't recommend them enough. Just that sensory deprivation.
Yes.
And isolation, yeah, is amazing. I have a membership there. I love that. So that's a big plug. You have to kind of get a sense from yourself whether you need input or quiet. And it ebbs and flows for me. I don't even know where to start on, you know, what I recommend reading or what, you know, my favorites are. It totally depends on where somebody is in their journey. And, but I go back to podcasts and I go back to, you know, reading and all that input. And it's just kind of, but there's a lot of waves going on, right? It's this oscillation between I need quiet and I need to connect the dots myself, right? You have to leave space from that learning to absorb and to output.
This is powerful. I mean, at the moment this is recorded, it's not out, but the moment this is out, it will be. I had a conversation with Brian Bogert on my other podcast, Learn, Speak, Teach. So anyone who's listening to this, go cue that for next. And he's a human behavior coach. And
I love that.
You're gonna love it. It's an incredible conversation. I want to do like a trifecta conversation with I asked him, like, he was talking about becoming one with himself, and I asked the typical, you know, actionable question, you know, do you have any tips or strategies where someone like me can get on this wavelength, get on this level? And he's like, there's no tips, man. I'm misquoting him, but he basically said there's no tips. Like, it all comes within you. Like, this is specific to you. Like, there isn't a specific action plan that I can give you.
No,
really
I know.
Isn't. You have to look within. I do think so personally, I went through that awkward stage where I needed to learn tips and tricks and I needed to learn like some baseline stuff to like, I basically was just like, I don't know, it was borderline, definitely socially awkward, borderline everything. I was an odd kid. So it's like, how do I learn how to be normal is like the question you ask when you're a teenager. And then you realize, okay, I've been normal all along.
Right.
How do I learn to just be more of me? How do I learn to be the best me? And it's not just be yourself as in like do whatever. Be myself is lazy. It's be the person I'm supposed to be, like actually inside me. And how do you tap into that? I don't have an answer other than a lot of the things you've said.
And isn't it funny? Did you ever think like earlier in your journey, like a lot earlier in your journey, when somebody's getting back to yourself, getting back to your true self, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I never knew that person. So I don't understand what you're saying, right?
I'm a product of all the people that like cause trauma and anger and regret. Yeah. What do you, my true self? What are you talking about?
What does that mean? I just didn't even believe that was real, a thing. That's not a thing. We're just a product of our experiences, right? You know, I am who I am, but you know what that feels like, right? Mm. You almost feel like, you know, when you're watching an old television set where the images kind of split a little bit. You know what? So you've got this head and there, and then it kind of comes out and in again.
Yeah.
There's a feeling, an emotional feeling when you're yourself right here on this podcast, no preparation, no whatever. And the words come out and they're me, and there's no friction between what I wanted to say and what I said and how I'm showing up, right? That's being in yourself, right? It's taking an action and having trusted completely that that was just the right thing to do, right? I do think some of that just comes with age, but it's certainly not the only thing. And I think the majority of people walk around their whole lives never understanding how to get rid of that duality.
Trying to get rid of the duality.
Trying to, right.
Like you mentioned, no friction. I'm thinking even if there is friction, that's kind of okay too, right? Like there's a little bit of friction. That's good for me.
Well, and that gives you information. Mm. When you experience that friction or that, like, I'm slightly outside of that ease, right? That showing up effortlessly, right? When you can just show up effortlessly. Now, yeah, I mean, I can talk about all this stuff because I've been talking about it for a long time. And I now have clarity on that. And I can talk about it with authority, you know, in some of it, right? In that space. But it's not the only thing. There's definitely this piece of trusting yourself and kind of getting back to that true essence of who you are. But man, it's tricky, and it's not a straight path. There's no straight path anywhere in this.
It's funny because it's about time to go into the rapid fire round. And I'm thinking to myself, even though we're diving deep, this entire podcast felt like a rapid fire round. It just blew by. Like,
yeah,
we're going to have to do more because I love diving deep with you and really dissecting this and unraveling the layers here. But the rapid fire is the least unraveling we're going to do all day. Short, sweet, fill in the blank, either or questions. Completely subjective to you. So whatever the heck comes to mind.
Okay. I'm ready.
Coffee or tea?
Both.
Beer or wine?
I have celiac and I miss beer a lot. I'm still going to go with beer.
Okay. given
cider
that,
wasn't on the list, by the way.
You can
cider would have
blank.
Been my answer now.
You can fill in the blank.
Cider.
So for my listeners, a couple of my good friends have celiac. Do you have any like go-to dishes that are perfect for someone who might have a food allergy like that?
Oh. I mean, I can name places.
Okay, that's even better, yeah.
Right. So Mama San's, love Mama San's. Miss them out on Monroe Avenue. King and I is fantastic. Those are the quick ones that I can think of that I really love.
I'll check it out. I love King and I. I haven't been to Mama San's, you said?
Mama San's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
College Town.
Okay.
Is their location right now.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do favorite season.
Fall.
I want to do something I haven't done before. So we'll do favorite superhero. It's like the
cheesiest. Okay, I don't have one, so I'm going to go with my daughter's favorite superhero, which is Black Widow.
Okay.
If that's a superhero. That's a superhero, right?
I don't know. It sounds like a superhero. I'm not going to ask that question because I don't know any superhero. So that's the first and last time I ever asked that question. One more time, how do people get in touch with you? Well, what should be my next step? Well, what should I do now?
The easiest place to go is to just visit humanityinc.world. That's where you can find the free course. You can connect with me there. You can email me. You'll have that in the notes. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm not on Facebook very much. I do, you know, I do post on that platform, but indirectly, you know, mm-hmm. I don't spend a lot of time there.
And listen, guys, info's in the show notes. I like to bring it up multiple times just to like remind people to go to the show notes. You don't have to pull the car over right now. You could take a screenshot of this episode. That's something I like to do as a reminder. But the info's in the show notes. If you're driving, you're at the gym, you're busy, it's there for you. You don't have to memorize this information. It's there for you. One more different question, because I love these different questions. So what's one question that I would have had to know you for minimum 10 years to even think to ask? Like something that people just don't ask Melissa, but maybe if I was her best friend or significant other, I'd know to ask this question. Like, is anything coming to mind of a question that I could have asked? Obviously, I also want to know the answer as well.
Let's see.
Tell me all your deepest, darkest secrets live on the air. That's basically what I'm saying right now. But you don't have to actually tell me deep and dark.
No, secrets. I'm just thinking. I'm trying to think of, now I'm on the spot. Okay. Yeah. This is the toughest question you've asked so far.
My work here is done.
Yeah.
I'm goofing.
I'm like totally blanking. Okay.
As you're thinking, I interjected at the wrong time, but I was saying,
no, you didn't.
As you're thinking, like I hope people at home are thinking to themselves, when you're listening to a podcast, anyone who's listening to this, it's not just about Melissa and I, it's about you too. So whether it's taking notes, just listening for entertainment, or ultimately answer that question yourself. Like, what's something that no one asks me? Like, well, what's something that people should know? And it doesn't have to be overly vulnerable. It could be just like something unique, like your favorite sports team and none of your friends like sports, and just you want to talk about sports. It could be anything. I stalled a little bit. I also interrupted you. So do we have something special here? Or what do we have?
You know, I think, so when I think about like what lights me up the most, and when, you know, when I enjoy spending time with people the most, it's when we're exploring new ideas together. And I think that that's why I so much love working with entrepreneurs and people who are ready and excited and accountable to their potential. I think that what I also crave is, and that doesn't happen quite as much because I always want to dive into like others' experiences and what they're thinking and where that passion is brewing, right? I tend to dive into that first when I'm talking to people. And what's amazing when it happens is when somebody asks me like, so what's under the, you know, under the table right now, like what's brewing for you,
yeah,
right? What do you want to spend time on that you just can't? I don't know
it's
if that makes sense,
yet.
But
yeah,
just
it's,
like.
It's not ready yet, but it's brewing.
Right. Right. When I can drop the, you know, when I can kind of drop down into something new again for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I'm excited to see what's to come. You're like me. You've got seven things on your mind at all times. You're a go-getter, but you have the patience to see it through. And we'll do like a 6-month recap, and you're going to be like a rock star by then. And then 6 years from now, oh my gosh, I guess we'll see what happens, but I hope the best.
Yeah, for timelines are interesting, aren't they?
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. But ultimately, we talked about everything, Melissa. I appreciate you taking the time today, being vulnerable with us, dissecting some of these things that are on all of our minds, and really telling your story so we can tell our own stories and learn from this conversation. I hope people do go to the show notes, follow up, get in touch with Melissa, even if it's just to ask a silly, funny question. And yeah, one more time, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.